The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Not unusual, in fact, it's quite usual for us to have difficult emotions, difficult experiences, difficult thoughts, uncomfortable. Maybe we can use this word negative. I'm not sure we need to use that word, though. But having these experiences, it isn't necessarily bad, right? It's part of being human. And often if we're having difficult time or difficult emotions, it's important. They're telling us something. They're telling us something isn't quite right. Maybe there are expectations haven't been met. Maybe there's some injustice. Maybe there's some bias. Maybe some boundaries. I don't know, right? It could be countless reasons why they happen. But we don't have to think that all of our difficult or uncomfortable emotions, experiences have to be gotten rid of, that we have to, that the purpose of life is to never have them again. No, they're important, and it's part of the human experience and how we kind of navigate and find our way. But part of what makes difficult, quote-unquote, emotions difficult is that often our awareness, our attention gets narrowed. And this can be a good thing. If our awareness gets focused on the problem, quote-unquote, then we're more likely to be able to find a way to address it, to hear the message that it's trying to tell us, or learn what needs to be learned if we are focused on it. But there can be a bad side to this too. This kind of like focus on the negative things means that we can also kind of get stuck in this tight, constricted orbit of thoughts and emotions. We can fall into habits that go round and around and around that don't really lead anywhere. We're just, instead, where there's this feeling of stuckness or this feeling of tightness. So rather than learning what can be learned from this difficult experience or the difficult emotion or uncomfortable situation, instead we find ourselves stuck, and then somehow there's like this stickiness, like in other things get stuck to it too. Sometimes we call that like a negative spiral. Or I'm sure all of us have this experience. Sometimes it's really strong, sometimes it's mild. Doesn't have to be a big problem unless we feel really stuck. So-called positive emotions, positive experiences, if we want to use that word, I'm not sure we need to, things like love, generosity, compassion, care, warmth, these types of experiences have the opposite effect in that they open up our awareness, open up our attention, so that when we're not tense, when we're not anxious, there can be more of this bigger, spacious awareness, that with that awareness, then we can see or understand things in a new way or a bigger way. Specifically, like instead of being stuck and having this focused awareness, maybe we could see, like have new ideas. Like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that before. It's hard to have new ideas when you're kind of stuck in this kind of recursive ideas and recursive thinking. But if we have some ease, some well-being, or experience generosity, love, care, then we have this increased capacity to maybe like hold different thoughts that are contradictory in the same, at the same time, seemingly. We may still be having this idea, oh, why did I do that? That was, and have feel the regret of having done something, but also be able to feel like, well, you know, I'm not always a bad person. I'm not never a bad person. I'm not always making the wrong, doing the wrong thing. And both are true. Sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we do kind, generous things. So with these more spacious, open experiences. Not only do they allow us to open up our awareness and to see things and feel things that we might not otherwise, and then we can find some creativity, some answers to questions, solutions to problems, but they also nurture us and support us and help us to increase our capacity to be with those difficult things. They increase our confidence so that when we find ourselves kind of stuck in those tight orbits, that's like, oh yeah, I'm not always here. It's possible to get out of these. So it helps us to see bigger. It helps us, it nurtures and supports us to cultivate these positive, expansive experiences. And something else is it really can be, really support our lives in the sense that if we do have some sense of ease, some sense of well-being, may not be our dominant experience, but if we have some sense of that, then we are kind of released from, or maybe it's softened, this incessant search for comfort, pleasure that we might have. Right? When we don't feel well, we're always trying to feel better. And that may lead us to make decisions that may not be the best decision in the grand scheme of our lives and our lives we share with others. But instead, if we have a certain amount of ease and spaciousness, instead we could look for what's true. What's the reality of what's happening? As opposed to what's going to make me comfortable, what's going to make me feel better. I think all of us know sometimes the truth isn't the most comfortable, isn't the most pleasant. But the truth, as best as we can know it, as best as we can understand it, is always the way forward. The way forward to greater ease, better life, better understanding, more positive experiences. So I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. We all know this, right? That some experiences that we kind of get stuck in and our focus gets narrowed, and some of them we are a little bit more spacish and we don't get stuck in them. Often, sometimes we do. Some of you may be familiar with Rick Hansen, this a Buddhist teacher and a psychologist, and he has this saying, which I think is really great, I appreciate very much, and he's pointing out to this negativity bias, like why we tend to notice or remember or get stuck with those things that are uncomfortable, this negativity bias. And he says, I forget the exact wording, it's something like this, that this negative experiences are like Velcro, but positive experiences are like Teflon. So part of loving kindness practice, what we're going to do this afternoon, is to help us to cultivate some of these positive experiences, the ones that are spacious and warm and include love, kindness, care, and to direct it and include ourselves and in others. There's so many reasons why we can do this, and one reason I'm talking about today is that it opens up our awareness, and with a broader, more relaxed, more spacious awareness, lots of things become possible that aren't so easy if we have this kind of more directed awareness. So today we'll practice with some loving kindness meditation for ourselves. We'll start with a benefactor, then we'll do it for ourselves, and then we'll do some compassion practice for ourselves, that is, being with difficulties. Sometimes practicing when it's not so difficult just makes it easier that when we are having difficulties, we can help ourselves get a little bit unstuck, help to kind of like broaden our awareness a little bit. Again, I don't want to send the message that every time we feel bad, it's a terrible thing and we have to get rid of it. No. We can learn what's to be learned there, feel what needs to be felt. But also we can cultivate ways of being that really can support our lives and nurture us and those around us. So with that as an introduction, I'll talk a little bit about loving kindness practice that we're going to do. Those of you who've been here a number of times know that loving kindness practice, the way that I'm going to teach it today, is we have three elements. The first element is to bring to mind somebody for whom you'd like to develop, cultivate loving kindness. Care, warmth, respect, love, goodwill. You can choose any of those words, all of those words, whichever one resonates for you. So often we start with a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love and care for, somebody for whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. This may be somebody that we don't know. This may be somebody that we just know about, a spiritual leader, a leader of some sort that inspires us, touches us. So that's the first element to bring to mind, the individual. If it's the case that there isn't somebody that comes to mind, that it's so easy to cause like your inner heart to smile or somehow for there to be some relaxation with it, you can always use puppies and kittens and babies. Earlier today, I was talking with someone and she was describing how she had a new cat and she just couldn't stop smiling and I was smiling. Like somehow, right, just are there like creatures or beings in our lives that make us have some warmth in our hearts. So it can be a person or it can be some other being. The second element to loving kindness practice is to check in with the experiences that we're having in the body. Often, not always. Often there's a warmth, a spaciousness, this openness in the heart center. I've been talking about it at awareness, but also we can feel that in our bodies. Maybe there's a little more relaxation or ease somehow. There's lots of different ways that can be felt. It may or may not be there with loving kindness practice. And then the third element are the phrases that we repeat to help us with our intention to cultivate and develop loving kindness. We say these phrases just as a reminder of our intention. And again, this is an intention to cultivate loving kindness. There's no guarantees that loving kindness is going to arise. It doesn't mean that we have to make it happen. It doesn't mean we have to force it happen. And it doesn't mean that if nothing happens, that's a bad thing. We're just creating the conditions. Sometimes loving kindness arises. Sometimes nothing arises. Sometimes the opposite of loving kindness arises. It's all okay. It's all perfectly fine. This is a practice. We're just creating the conditions, working with neuroplasticity, changes in the mind and the brain. Okay, so with that as an introduction now, we'll do some loving kindness practice. So we'll start with an alert, upright posture, a posture that kind of reflects your intention to pay attention, but also a posture that has ease or comfort in it. We can start with three long... Kristen, can I ask you to put the volume up just a little bit? I feel like I'm starting to yell, and I don't want to yell. Okay, yeah, I think that's a little bit... Is this better? Can you guys... Yeah, okay. Thank you. That's a little bit better for me. So let's take three long, slow breaths. just as a way to connect with the body. It might be that with the exhale, there's some letting go, some relaxation. And then allowing the breath to return to normal, trusting that the breath, that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. And to support a sense of well-being, it can be helpful to support a sense of relaxation or letting go of any of those obvious places of tension. We don't want to turn this into a big project of making the tension go away. Sometimes it's the case that when we simply bring our awareness to tension, there can be a soft, gentle untangling. Places like around the eyes, with the jaw, the shoulders, the upper back, the lower back. Maybe using the breath as you bring your awareness to these different areas, with the exhale, there might be some letting go. It's perfectly fine if there isn't. We're just creating the conditions in which there might be some relaxation, some more ease. The chest, the belly. We often hold tension there in these places. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body and feel supported, grounded. You're here. Now, and check in with the legs and the feet. And the arms and the hands. Now we'll do a little bit of mindfulness of breathing practice. This is a way to help increase stability and to finish arriving and settling. Maybe not finish, continue. So you can bring your awareness to the sensations of breathing. So that is the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Whichever is the easiest, most accessible, supportive. It doesn't take a lot of effort. We're just resting our awareness on the sensations of breathing. It's likely that the mind will drift off into thought. This doesn't have to be a problem. Can you just, with warmth and kindness, bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing? This practice is quite simple. Turns out not to be so easy necessarily, but can we be kind to ourselves? We notice that our mind is no longer on the object, the sensations of breathing. Like, oh, just notice. Just notice and come back to the sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can always be a refuge or an anchor. If you feel confused, you feel overwhelmed, you feel unsure what to do, always come back, you can always come back to this, just resting your awareness on the sensations of breathing in a very simple way. And then just continue with this practice, or then go back to loving kindness, which I'm about to introduce. You can use this practice as a mindfulness of breathing as a way to support you, in whatever way feels supportive. So then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, goodwill, love, respect. Somebody for whom, when you bring them to mind, there's a little inner smile. Somehow, in whatever way you understand that. You might check in with the body. What does that mean, inner smile? Is there a small opening or feeling of warmth, sometimes felt in the heart center? Again, it's perfectly fine if it's not there. It's perfectly fine. If it is there, you can allow it to support you. You can dip into it. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, creating the conditions for loving kindness to arise, you can repeat the phrases silently. After me. Keeping in mind the lovable person, lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might want to check in with the body and see if there is any opening, spaciousness, warmth, well-being. It doesn't have to be your dominant experience. It could maybe just a little corner of your experience. Or maybe it is suffusing your body. Maybe you feel the same. Here we're just noticing. You're welcome to change the phrases. Use words that resonate with you, that make sense to you, but somehow it touches your heart. And again, working with the benefactor or the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a little bit, so you can go at your own pace. Maybe experiment, play with different words, different phrases. Maybe experiment and play with how you are bringing to mind the benefactor, a lovable being. Maybe explore the sensations happening in the body. Now we can build on this foundation of loving kindness that we're cultivating to include ourselves. Sometimes it's not so easy to extend to ourselves. Sometimes it is, perhaps. So in the same way, we can bring to mind ourselves, either an image in the mind, how we are today, maybe how we were as a young person, a child, toddler, or maybe the felt experience, what was it like to be sitting here, like the here and now, either the body or the like your interior experience, whatever way makes sense to you, whatever way feels comfortable. And if there was some warmth or care, some openness, spaciousness in the body, we can allow that to get as big as it would like. We don't have to make it. We're not forcing anything. We're allowing, making room, making space. And then with the phrases, we just simply change the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, we can check in with the body or the felt sense. Allow any opening, spaciousness, well-being, warmth, to support us, to nurture us, nourish us. We can dip into it. We deserve to have some well-being. We deserve to feel some care. I'll be silent here for a little bit. Sometimes it's the case that when we want to wish ourselves well-being, what gets highlighted are difficulties, the non-well-being. It's okay. It's part of the practice too. So as a way to support us to be with difficulties that arise, we can practice compassion for ourselves. Compassion is when this wish for care and warmth, this wish of goodwill, meets suffering, meets difficulty, and it turns into compassion. A care that wishes for the suffering and difficulty to be ended, abated. So to practice with this, to cultivate the capacity, increase our capacity, you can bring to mind a way in which maybe there's some stress or some difficulty in your life. To begin with, there's no need to bring in the most difficult, the most stressful, the most problematic. Let's start where it's easy. Let's start with something that's a little troubling, a little bit stressful, but not the biggest. We're practicing. We're going to practice with being with the difficulty in a kind, caring way, in a way that's a little bit spacious and open, as best we can. So you can bring to mind some area in which you are stressed. Maybe you feel that stress in your body. Maybe you have this memory that feels really sticky. A problem you're trying to solve. And then to support our intention of holding it with gentleness, care, respect, and ease, and say a different phrase. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. Again, we're not forcing ourselves to do anything. We're just supporting our intention, creating the conditions in which kindness and ease might arise. And we're practicing. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. We can use the body to support us. There might be some tension in the body. Sometimes relaxing as best we can. That tension in the body can support some openness in the mind, some ease in the mind. May I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. And then to end this meditation, Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So chances are that all of us have this experience of being kind of stuck and tight and constricted. There's lots of different ways. There's a number of different ways in which we can find a little bit more aware and opening up some spaciousness. And loving kindness practice can be a way in which that can really support that movement. Maybe we won't have... At the height of constriction, maybe the first thing that comes to mind won't be loving kindness. But with this practice, it just makes it easier even for that movement, for the mind to recognize and to know that there is malleability, there is some pliability. The mind can get more relaxed and opened. Our awareness can see other things, experience other things instead of the tightness that often accompanies difficulties. And compassion practice for ourselves can be a way to really support that. Maybe compassion practice in whichever way is available to us. Loving kindness practice, just dipping into some feeling of warmth, care that we already have, or with our meditation practice just makes it more accessible and more likely that it'll arise and makes it easier. This movement from tightness to openness, right? It's a natural movement that we all have during the day. It doesn't have to be a problem. It's just sometimes we get stuck. So this practice is just to kind of help us get a little bit unstuck. So now I'd like to open it up for comments or questions. It could be an observation, a sharing, a question about clarification. Something that you think might support your practice or support the practice of others. Yes, can we send the microphone like to the back? Thank you, I appreciate it. I think maybe he'll walk forward and then.
Thank you for that.
I'm not sure the microphone is on. Oh, that's so Kristen will. Okay, I think it is on. Or I think we just appeared. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I just said thank you for that. I noticed... When I was overly stressing to give myself loving kindness, and it like limited my feeling into like that loving kindness. So it was like, it was strange. It was like, I was like, may I be well? And it was just like, I was like overly stressing it. And, it was really hard for me to like let go of like trying to overstress the idea of giving myself loving kindness. Yeah, I just felt like sharing that.
Yeah. I smiled and I chuckled a little bit at the beginning. I hope that that was okay. I don't want to be disrespectful because this certainly is something, right? We so desperately want to feel well, and sometimes we are like, there's this striving to do it. So one question I have for you is that when then we switch to may I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. Did you recognize that the difficulty of wanting to have loving kindness?
Yeah, I did. It was it was like this part of me that was like, it was foreign. It felt like foreign. And so it was just like kind of, yeah, there was like this part of me that was like, I don't know if I'm deserving of that or, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. This is kind of a common experience that we feel somehow that we have to criticize ourselves or in some way be, I don't know, not kind to ourselves. We think that's the only way that we're going to get better or, I don't know, something like this. But it turns out that it's not true. Even though we've heard this message so much, right, that we have to be critical of ourselves. But I think this is fantastic that you noticed that this kind of the wish to have loving kindness for yourself or this wish for wellness mm-hmm. came with a certain tightness to it. This is not uncommon. And chances are that you have this experience in other areas of your life.
Yeah,
right? We only have one brain, one mind, and the same one which shows up in meditation, the same one that's out there in the world, too. So this is a beautiful place to practice. It's like, okay, can I be kind? Am I wish to be kind? Can I have care with my wish to have care? And then I have one more question for you. How was it for doing loving kindness for the benefactor, the lovable being? Was that a little bit easier?
It was kind of difficult because the person I was like doing it to gave me a lot of feelings of love when I was younger, but they also like caused a lot of problems in my life. So it was just like, I guess like you said, it made me choose a more straightforward benefactor that's more simple.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I struggled a little bit.
Yeah. Right? Sometimes it's not easy to find somebody with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. It's mm-hmm. often people we don't actually know.
Yeah.
But I just want to offer that if you find that kind of you're getting constricted around this idea that may I be well and there's this tightness there, maybe you don't have to do that practice. You could just stay with a benefactor. You could stay with somebody maybe that you don't know, you have an uncomplicated relationship, and just stay with that practice. And just, we're just trying to cultivate this openness, this spaciousness of the heart. And if it's, we don't want to struggle, we don't want to like try to force it to happen or anything like this. So even though I'm up here, I'm doing like a certain pace and leading us a certain way, maybe that's not what's best for you right now. So, you know, that's true for everybody, right? To just maybe stay with what feels the easiest, most accessible, most supportive. We don't have to do the most difficult. We don't have to, I don't know. We're so indoctrinated with this idea, no pain, no gain. You don't have to believe it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then I think up here, yes, the person that gave you the microphone earlier, I think she'd like to have it back now.
I just have been doing compassion meditation for a difficult person. And so shifting it to the difficulty the was also almost like having compassion for myself around the situation. Like, I've been giving this person so much compassion, I've been trying so hard, and then setting it back to like, okay, I'm in this too, and this is also about having compassion for me in this difficulty was really kind of a nice change.
Fantastic.
That thinking in that way.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear this. Right, so in this practice, right, we're trying to cultivate this openness, and sometimes it's not easy with difficult people to have compassion, and we may notice the difficulties in the struggle and stuff like this. So I think it's great that you notice that and are able to, oh, wait, I need to be feeling wellness and happiness and all that too. So that's great. Thank you. Kim.
So I had some difficulty, you know, staying awake for the first part. But then when you got to the difficult situation, so normally those difficult situations, when you think about those thoughts, whatever, they cause stress. You can feel it in your body or whatever else. But in this case, maybe because of just kind of like getting the environment calm and being positive. When I thought about those things, there was like the judgment and the sting wasn't really there, and I could kind of like bring up these situations, and it was just like just things, you know, events, and they just kind of sat there, and then it was kind of nice that it wasn't, you know, just kind of went away.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Right, when we're able to kind of approach them or be with them in a more spacious, right, yeah, more neutral way, often the suffering just kind of like drains out. It's not that the situation is completely different or thoughts are different, it's just that the difficult part of it drains out. So I'm happy to hear this. Thank you for sharing.
When you said to hold on, you know, picture something difficult, I've been holding on. And so I kind of thought like a basket, and I was like, okay, yes, and hold it some more, right? Because it's there. There's two difficult things. But then to wish like kindness and compassion, it was kind of like they were starting to unknot a little bit, and like some light was starting to come through, and that they don't have to, just for that moment, be so heavy.
Nice.
Can not have that, you know, power. And so that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. Great. Right? That sometimes when there is a little more kindness or ease, then knots start to kind of untangle themselves. And Gil Fronsdal, the founder of this center, he said something once that really had a big impact on me. He said that often with these practices that we do, a number of different practices, it's not that all our problems get solved, it's but that they get dissolved. So right, they still have the same, but they start to be less sticky, less problematic, less difficult. So, okay, so it's 7 o'clock, so I'll end it. And may all of you, whatever kind of difficulties you're experiencing, may you also be able to find some kindness and some ease. Thank you.